If you have Bibles or phones to scroll on, or maybe you'll just look up there and see it, but we're going to spend a little bit of time in this passage, so you might want to see it in black and white on your page in front of you. I want to read, just to open it up before we pray, to Isaiah chapter 58. I want you to look there. It says these words. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then look further. Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we're here. It's the second week of Advent. We're only a few short days from this time that we celebrate Christmas. Jesus, born to us, light takes away the darkness. And we have a lot going on, a lot that we're bringing in. We barely have time for things like worship. And yet we know that is our ultimate priority. Will you help us this morning? Not just as we sing, but to continue in worship as we listen, as we participate with your word and your word, the word inscripturated and the word made flesh. As your Holy Spirit comes through, hopefully, these words that I share, but also through the music and the prayers and the lighting and this Eucharist, this moment of thanks. Move us, please. Help my words to be what's needed here. Wound those who need wounding and heal those who need healing. We will give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all know what Christmas is about, right? I mean, it's getting close. We all know what this is all about. I mean, what it's really about in a world filled with darkness and with all the things creeping in, the things that most bring us light. We know about those things. The things that light our day, those are very obvious, right? We know what brings light in our day, right? It's the presence, isn't it? You guys are all waiting for that moment, that great moment when you get to open all these things, the glory of the 6 o'clock a.m. Maybe some of you are past that. Your kids are like, no, they're not coming over at 6. That's not going to happen. They're not waking. Whatever, 6 o'clock. The Christmas stockings have already, right, have been hung by the chimney with care, haven't they? In hopes that Saint, you know the whole thing, right? You've been waiting, but in just a few short days, they're going to be spread out across the living room, and candy and little tiny gifts and big, huge gifts are going to be spread, and wrapping paper is going to be everywhere, and the loot is going to be counted, and the joy is unmeasurable, right? All the light of Christmas, those Christmas passengers ripped open, these little savages bringing an end to our darkness and welcoming the light. The world will be a beautiful place. Right, Susanna? It's going to be wonderful. No, it's not going to look like that at all. I mean, what's out there? The new stuff from the last few years is going to be the Hatchimals, Collectibles, Neon Night Flow. I know some of you guys want the Night Glow, Treasure X Alien Dissection Kit with slime, right, Carl? That's what you've been waiting for on Christmas. That's what you've, I know, that's what you've asked for. The Boone Building Bath Pipe toy set for the bath. Anybody play with the bath? Okay, I don't know, whatever. The Key Smart Pro, there we go, right? Keychain with location tracking. You lost your keys a lot this year, haven't you? This will solve all of those problems. The premium Bluetooth 5.0, maybe it's at 6.0. I didn't even look. Wireless earbuds. I know, this is what you're looking for. Some of you are thinking, you know, just Christmas, if you could just get us earbuds for this sanctuary so we can understand what you're saying, Jace, that would be fine. I understand. Thank you. All right, yep. Hey, sometimes my jokes land. All right. This is a little insulting, though. Thank you for that. Okay. The TC 1200 flashlight, 25 times better than the best tactical flashlight of last year. This is going to be great. That's what you've been waiting for, Fran, right? This flashlight, this Muamma Enense, lets you speak 43 languages at the touch of a button. This is pretty good for most of us who have one mostly well-known language. It's about it. Oh, maybe you've been waiting. Maybe you're 4 years behind. The Instapot, it's time to get it, right? This is going to come to us. The RoboVac, you're at least 5 years behind that. They're like $500, but they do amazing all over the place. The Roku streaming stick, the new Drone X Pro for you're looking for, but it's going to be a glorious day, isn't it? Oh, that day, all the stuff that helps us survive going to work in the dark and coming home in the dark from work. It's always darkness at this time. We get all of our stuff to bring light to our day, and it makes us happy, at least for a little while, right? We start looking forward to it as early as Thanksgiving, the stores as early as Halloween, but whatever, right? We're waiting for this, to just something that allows us to pretend that it's not quite so dark. But we all know it's not really the presence, right, that caused the darkness to flee. God has something very different in mind. A plan to dispel the darkness in you and in the whole world. To open all of our blind eyes and to finally see this big picture plan that he's been working out from eternity past. And I get to share it with you. Every week I get to share it with you. This sermon is not going to be any different than last sermon. Next sermon is going to be pretty much the same. Every sermon I'm going to share with you this light that comes into the darkness, because it involves a God who's speaking from the very first pages of Scripture, from the beginning, who speaks into the darkness. You remember that second verse of the Bible? Most of you might remember it. At one point you may have memorized it, that second verse where everything was chaotic and empty and dark, formless and empty. Some of your King James might say something similar to that. And empty darkness was over the surface of the deep, and then God speaks. Remember those words? Let there be light. And there was light. And he continues to speak. If you've done the Hebrew work in there, he continues to speak a total of 10 times that week and creates a place for he and man to dwell together in this cosmic mountain island thing called Eden. Check it out. It looks like that. A kingdom of light and beauty, and all is well as he dwells with mankind. And you likely know about the deep dive into the darkness with disobedience and a lack of care. And eventually, death over and over and over again over those next few chapters of Genesis, so much that God allows the return of his beautiful creation into that chaotic, black, watery mess again. Those 10 words of creation that he spoke out are undone. Centuries later, God speaks into the darkness again, the darkness of Egypt, and again speaks 10 times through plagues. He delivers his people through a sea and a light going before them. You remember that? A light in the darkness, light conquering the darkness, a light that brings life, as Psalm speaks about. And 10 more words are given to Moses. Amidst a light cloud, again on a cosmic mountain, which left Moses' face shining so bright that no one could gaze upon it. In each case, the people need an escape from the darkness, to be freed, to be healed, as you've heard the theme throughout this, for justice again to return. Esther's people, saved from death, had light, gladness of joy it talks about. The psalmist says the light dawns for the righteous. Solomon says the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Ezekiel's chariot is flaming. God himself, in several passages, said to be shining. And Isaiah speaks of an end to the darkness for the righteous followers of Yahweh. And this is what we've been walking through. Davin started it last week in Isaiah. I'm going to talk about Isaiah for the next few weeks in a row. All of this Isaiah culminating in this one moment. But chapter 9, remember, the people of darkness have seen a great light, right? Chapter 49, there's a light to the nations, to the Gentiles. Chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. All they wanted is an end to the darkness, a light breaking forth like the dawn that Isaiah is talking about, something to pull us out of this dark world and into this new, beautiful light world. And it's something that we're constantly doing, trying to find that moment of light, this piece of the eschaton, pulling it into the present. Please just give us some kind of hope for this moment. And we try to cover it with things like Christmas presents and lighted trees and lighted houses, candles and the lights, icicles floating down, billions of lights. Because because it does. It hides our darkness for a little while. And when it's not Christmas time, we hide it with something else. We keep bringing these things in. The truth is that we don't fully see. Even as we light things up everywhere to make us see, we don't fully see. We're kind of like that man who is blind and Jesus heals him, kind of. Remember that moment where he spits on his eyes, his hands, and he rubs them on his eyes, and then he says, I see, but I see people, and they look like trees. They're walking around. It's like Jesus didn't quite heal him. He didn't quite get it. He couldn't quite see. That's us, not able to fully see. And we're just clamoring for any piece of light. Just give me something to bring back the beauty and the brightness of Eden. To bring back that home. Something that helps us move forward even a little bit. Have you ever been in the darkness? I mean, like literal darkness. Try to stop away from Jesus' metaphor for a second. Jump into the reality of darkness and how overwhelming it really is. I told this story. I'm going to tell it again right now because there's more people here. But I told this story at Montreat. By the way, speaking of that, next year we'll be going to Montreat. It's awesome. You should come. Okay, so that's just my little advertisement for that. But I was talking about this time when the darkness woke me up. Have you ever been woken up by the darkness? Generally, you try to make it as dark as you can so you can sleep, but I was woken up by the darkness. Me and my wife were laying in bed. We're in Kenya. I lived in Kenya. I was a university professor there, and we were on the east, on the coast of the Indian Ocean. We'd rented this house that we hadn't seen before, and we didn't know the outline and everything, and my kids are sleeping in one room, and I'm in another room, my wife and I, and mosquito nets and all the stuff, and Kenya, by the way, is it's a place filled with all kinds of strange things compared to what you're used to on a daily basis here. So there are some creatures that live in the night. Okay? There are these millipedes that are humongous that we saw during the day up on the walls. They would attach themselves to the walls. If you touch them, they curl up and they're about the size of a baseball. And you could throw, we don't talk. Anyway, we would do that because they're not dangerous at all, but they're creepy, right? Yes, I mean, Lily's like, yeah, it's not gonna happen. Okay, you think that's creepy, right? We've got other pictures like these things are just hanging. Okay, and then there's these orange glow-in-the-dark kind of tarantula-y things. Okay, and you never know in your house when you're going to run across one of these creatures, hippos even. I don't know. They could just come out of the closet. Okay, so this is what I'm thinking when I wake up in the dark. Okay, probably not hippos in the house, but the other ones maybe. Okay, I mean, I literally saw the millipedes that are there. So I'm in the dark. I'm laying there in the bed. I'm just like, whoa, I'm just laying there for 30 seconds. My wife's there, I'm just touching. Okay, we're good. Like, whoa. No, there's no alarm clock lighting up the room just a little bit. There's no ambient light. There's nothing. Just pitch black. You can't see anything. And then as you're laying there, you're like, we'll be okay. It's just darkness, right? But I hear this blood-curdling scream at the top. I'm hearing two screaming, Papa, Papa. So my kids, 2 and 3 years old, also live in Kenya with us. They're in the room next to us, but the room next to us goes through a dining room, a living room, another living room, and then to their room. You have to go all the way around. Their window is right next to ours, so I can hear them loud and clear scream, blood-curdling screams. I'm trying to get up. I'm trying to put my boxers on. I'm trying to pull up the mosquito net. I'm running, trying to run, thinking, oh my goodness, millipedes, tarantula-y things, right? Hippos coming. I don't know what I'm trying to run. They're screaming at the top of the line, honey, come on. But she's trying to get out and get dressed, but and we're not trying to stub our toes. We make it all the way around to this place. Finally, after like feeling our way along the wall, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, just not touch that, right? And we finally get to them. We pull up the mosquito net and we're holding. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, it's darkness. It's no big deal to have a little bit of darkness, right? It's a lot of darkness. There's no light. And as we get them calmed down, my wife comes in, Jack's sitting next to them. We're like, okay, you know, and I'm starting to feel around the wall because I remembered that there was a candelabra kind of thing that had some you know what a candle, right? It's got like spikes coming up and you stick the wax candle on top of them. I remember seeing that. So near there must be an actual candle that you could stick on there. So I'm looking for a candle. And as I look in the candle, I hear other screams coming from outside. And so I run / right to the doorway, and I can see these three men coming down the hill with bow and arrows. I can see them because not only do they have bow and arrows, but they've got these, maybe those super tactical flashlights, 25 times better. I don't know what they had. They had some kind of torch in their hand. They're running. They've got the arrows, and they're sprinting towards me, and they're screaming in some other language. I assume it's Swahili because that's what most everybody speaks, but I don't know it.
And they're running towards me with bow and arrows. So I'm looking out there. Did it get really bright in here? Okay. A lot of light. Okay, I'm running towards, my kids are starting to cry now, right? Like, what's going on? I'm like, honey, get the kids, lock the door, lock them in the closet. Like, do, right? So she's like, what's happening? I don't have time for this. I'm feeling around for that candelabra thing now because I need the candles right away. I've got to see. And even if I can't find the candles, I remember that there was a spike. So I'm a man. I'm a protect, right? So I pull out the candle. I'm ready for them. That spike is going through someone's hand when they reach through the bars. And I know they're going to. They're coming for me. And they're coming down. They're screaming. I'm yelling for Jack. Put them in the closet. What's happening? I don't have time for this. Right? I got the candelabra thing. I'm standing by the edge of the door. Right? There, the windows are here. Here's the door. Right? And the window. I don't remember exactly where. No, the window. And I'm standing next to the door. And the window's here. And I'm looking out. I'm seeing they're coming closer. They're screaming. I'm ready just to stab as soon as they get there. And they come all the way up on the porch. They've stopped screaming now. They come. One of them comes right behind the porch. And they're still talking. I don't know what they're saying. And then one of them, I hear, Malimo, Malimo. Right? Which just means teacher, professor. So, okay, wait. Wait, so moment, I don't have time, I'm like, and the hand comes through the door. I'm like, and hands me this flashlight, and they say, the campus was all dark. We know you didn't have any light. We wanted to bring you. So these are the campus guards. Okay, they weren't out to kill me. They were out to protect me all this time, but I didn't have any light. I couldn't see. I didn't understand. Do you get that? We don't have the light. If only I had a little bit of light, maybe I would have understood what they were trying to do. Because not being able to see makes us afraid, makes us cautious, careful. We don't want to stub our toe or fall over a cliff or hit a giant millipede or hippo or anything, so we take care of our own and we make them happy. And in so doing, we miss the light because we can't see. We can't see out there. We're missing it. And even Christians, I think, even those who realize, you realize Jesus is the light. You understand mostly what that metaphor means. He lights up our day. He does all this thing. And that's what it's all about, Jesus, the light of Christmas. And we Christians, we get it. We saw the angels glowing. We saw the star above the manger. We saw the Moravian star everywhere throughout Winston-Salem. Right, we remember all of that stuff and what it applies to. And we remember the John story. I'm going to talk about the John story on Christmas, this even more explicit, where he says Jesus is the light of the world. In him was life, and the light was the life of the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. We know this, and we still miss it. Our eyes are still hazy. We still miss how we're designed to carry the light. We think the light's just for us and not to be modeled to the world. We miss the only way to brightness and joy for ourselves is to follow the one who is shining. We miss what Isaiah says and what he continues to say. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. And your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he'll say, here am I. And you ask, when will this happen? When is he going to break forth and be our fire by night and our cloud by day? When is he going to answer us when we call from the darkness and say, here am I, Lord? When is he going to do this? Well, that's the end of verse 9. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Do you hear this? Those of you hiding in the darkness, those of us maybe, hiding in the darkness with present giving and light up reindeer and a light shining on a manger scene in our front yard. That's not the call. There's nothing wrong with those. Those things are great. Keep doing those things. Remember the call to light the world by doing away with this yoke of oppression, by spending ourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfying the needs of the oppressed. Is that what you think of at Christmas? 14.3 million households had difficulty providing enough food for all their members due to a lack of resources this year. 38.1 million people, nearly 12% of our nation, One in six children in poverty. 24,000 people die from hunger and hunger-related causes every day, most of them children. It's a world of injustice. It's all around us. A world of beggars, rich and poor beggars, that God cares about so deeply. And he wants us to see. So he sends prophets to tell us these things, to cry out to the blind that there is such a thing as sight. Can you imagine being called as a prophet to tell people there's such a thing as seeing? They can't see. Like, whatever. Can you imagine being called as a group of 150 people here in Winston-Salem to tell the world around you? No, I can see. They don't even understand what you mean when you say, I can see. What you're saying doesn't even make sense. What? Because there's blindness, and you are only seeing partially sometimes. And you're trying to show them what there can be. This chapter calls us out of our sins of ignoring injustice. Remember what Cole read earlier? We've forsaken the commands of our God. This is Isaiah 48. It's verse 2. Verse 3 says, we fasted, but we haven't humbled ourselves. We're fasting, and we're still exploiting. If you're looking at your text, it's right in there, verse 3. Here we are, we're doing the right things, and we're still exploiting people. What kind of fasting, verse 6? That's what it asks. What kind of fasting does God want? To loose the chains of injustice. Do you see that there? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke, to share the food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When we see people naked, we clothe them. There's verse 8 coming. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear, quickly come. And then it just keeps going into the very next chapter, into chapter 59. Look at verse 4. The plea for justice is continuing. Verse 7 says, we shed innocent blood and ruin and destruction mark our ways. Verse 8, this return to the formless and void world, life before God speaks into the darkness. Everything has gone back to the darkness, back to that formless tohu vabohu. Verse 8, there's no justice in their paths. Verse 9, we look for light and all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, in verse 9, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. That's so vivid for me as I'm feeling my way along to try and take care of those who are hurting in the dark. Remember that, Israel. Remember that, God's people. Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. God's people, Christians, we must open our eyes. Like me in Kenya, I've got to be able to see so I understand, so I can help. Jesus wasn't unable to heal that blind man in Mark 8. He's like, oh, my powers didn't work today. I don't know what happened. No. It was all intentional. It was all meant to say, yes, disciples, you can see. You get it, Christians, you can see. But oh, only a little bit. I'm going to show you so much more. It's going to become more alive than you can possibly imagine. He's going to make us see. Oh, that the world would truly see what's happening around us and the need for our light to shine. If only we could see who's keeping us from seeing the light, who our enemies are. You know, it's not the Russians, it's not the North Koreans, it's not the Muslims, it's not the atheists, it's not them. If anything, the enemies are those who are snuffing out the light inside of us, that system that's constantly bringing in darkness, that reminds us that being wealthy, being successful means being wealthy, right? That's a pretty good call for some of us. Maybe it's that system that reminds us that taking care of our family and the ones that we love, that's the most important thing. Do that and God will be happy. And we don't see. We don't see this Jewish man hanging on a Roman cross for the whole world. For those living in darkness, the Gentiles even. Putting an end to the darkness of greed and arrogance and this power over world. This king came enshrouded in light and hope and healing. And Mary's song is embedded in him. You know that Magnificat? He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. This reversal that we've been talking about in Haggai. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. It's the light that Jesus brings. Are we healing the world? Because in healing others, we find our healing. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Are you looking for healing from the darkness? Break through the injustice. Light the world. Don't just listen to people like me talk about it. There's got to be more. There's got to be doing. There's a story of Benjamin Franklin. He wanted the streets of Philadelphia to be lit up. He wanted there to be street lights. Instead of proposing and instead of jumping on it and telling everybody, because he knew this wouldn't, why do we need such a thing? What are you even talking about? The idea is insane. So instead he bought himself a lantern, and every day at dusk he would trim the wick just perfectly and light it up and keep that glass all polished on that lantern. He put it on a pole and he stuck it out in front of his house. And people, as they walked by, were delighted. They could see. They felt more secure, safe, taken care of. And then over time, a couple of other people on the street did the same thing. They loved the idea. And eventually it started popping up all over the place. And eventually the city of Philadelphia said, we need this. This is something we can't do without. We must have it. You see, he moved forward. He did something and people saw the light. And I'm glad to be a part of a church, I think, that sees so much better than many others. I'm glad to be a part of a church that's giving generously, insanely generously, to light the streets. I'm glad to report that in the last 30 years, it's gone from 36% of the world living in extreme poverty to 10%. That's huge. The number of children that are dying have gone from 35,000 a day to under 15,000. Because of churches like this one, because of Compassion International, International Justice Mission, and World Vision, and just churches should be leading the way in this, caring in the darkness. Now, there's so many places that you can give to this Christmas, so many ways not just to give but to be a part of. I know, speaking of bringing light, reading to students is a way. Right, I know Margaret Ray. I saw an email up this morning from her Cook Literacy School. You can go and read. We visited Latino Community Services this last week. Right, they need tutors in math and reading, just people to help them to stand with them to bring light so that they can see. And I can see that beginning reading, and then them be able to read things like this and to see the beauty of Jesus. We can light the world. This is what Jesus did. Died so that children, like in these statistics that I have, might live and see the light. So that those in the darkness might truly see.